Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 That was so powerful. Guys, at this rate, you guys are getting to the level of concerts. Amen. All right, are you happy to be in church?
Yes, sir.
All right, if you're happy, can you go around and greet yourselves? Let's greet each other. Please make sure you go around. Nobody is greeting our first timers. Hello. Hi. How are you? Praise God. Hallelujah. You can have a seat. Is my voice okay? Can you guys hear me well? It's okay. Sound is okay. Everything. Okay. I'm actually. Okay. All right. Where's your friend now? I've not seen her. She has disappeared. Do you know where she is? Do you know where her friend went to? Her friend. Miriam, yeah. Okay. Praise God. If you're happy to be in church, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Let me see, is this thing too close? Is it too... So shift back some. Because I'm concerned, I don't want to be hitting people. Amen. Amen. I'm so happy to be in church today. I've been so happy since yesterday. So happy. Can we clap for the choir once again? That was such a honest session of worship. And it's so amazing. I don't know if you guys might believe me. I don't know if you believe. The way I'm talking about the choir, the way you guys are currently, you are already more advanced than so many adult choirs. I don't know if you believe me. Now, in terms of musicality, you're not there yet. As far drumming, I think today you didn't get the piano on time. Have you? All right. But in terms of the easy worship is... Music is, the quality of the music is important, but the essence of worship is not the quality of the music. It is the truthfulness behind what is being said. You know? And when someone is singing something that they mean, you can tell. Yet, different from when somebody is performing. Right? And be powerful or effective. Be an effective minister in song, at least what I've learned. It's not like I'm inside a thing like that. But what I've seen and observed is that you just need to mean what you are saying. I need to get to that place of honesty. God. And I get that sense. And I get that sense from you guys. And I'm so gracious to God. You know. Can we clap for the choir once again? And please don't limit yourselves to what you know. right? There's nothing that is stopping you guys from writing your own songs. You know what I'm saying? So if you have capacity, who can write songs? You can write. Any other person? Musa can write songs. You can write. He only to produce. He can write. He can write. I try your power. See, it's not many of the songs that I remember. I remember when Lulu was most of it. You just try your power. Just get. It's not God will bless you, and you'll get better at I just want to thank Pastor Lalu for this opportunity. Can we say thank you, Pastor Lalu? Not for giving me this opportunity, but thank him for presence in your life. Can you say thank you, Pastor Lalu?
Thank you, Pastor Lalu.
You guys have a very, very good pastor. Believe me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Okay, that was a very powerful shout. I'm happy you guys believe. But seriously, you guys have a very powerful. What's the thing I said at first? I said powerful. If you believe me, shout hallelujah. Huh? Is it powerful? I said, okay. You guys have a very powerful pastor. You have a very, very kind. I don't know if kind is the right word. Yeah, maybe kind. But you have an awesome pastor, and it's a privilege. Not everyone has a pastor like you. Don't worry, you understand. When you go, you will understand. But may you understand it from afar. Some people, their pastor dupe them of money. Yeah, some people, their pastor is the yao yao boy. But you guys have a pastor that really cares about you. And I hope you Amen. All right. Let's say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for preserving us. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. Father, as we go into your word, I ask you, O Lord, for utterance. I ask you, Lord, for your presence. I ask that you shall change us and that you shall come to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Marashi has disappeared. Did he go to the toilet? Does someone want to check up on them? Maybe. Abuse with them. Okay. All right. So today we'll be concluding. Well, it's not really concluding. Can't really conclude on these things. As you know, one thing I've discovered is that as you look into the Word of God, it's like that musical group, an endless ocean. You know, it's like it doesn't have end. You know, so you can always talk about. You can talk about love now, from now to the next 5 years. You won't exhaust it because it's many things. Word of God is eternal, right? But at least for now, we'll be done with this. And, you know, I thought I was done last week, but it appeared to me that God wanted me to talk about something. And it's about how we, I guess with me. Okay. That is about how we make decisions, right? It just came strong to me that we should talk about it, how we make decisions. Are you okay? Can you reduce, more relaxed? That's your position. It's like you're fighting. So I was saying that, talking, it just came to me that we talk about how to make decisions or the importance of decisions. You know, just came to me strongly that that's like on left. And to bless you. But the issue is not that it will bless you. The issue is that I pray that you will open your hearts. Because this kind of message, you don't hear it all the time, what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is very simple, very straightforward. But you don't hear it all the time. And the point is that you don't hear it all the time. It's not like you don't hear it all the time because I'm a better minister. No, the point is there are some things in God that you don't hear all the time. We'll be looking at it. But before we start that, I really wanted to thank, I want to thank us for the consistency with the Bible reading. Can we clap for ourselves? I'll clap for yourself now. People have... where are we now? 2 Corinthians, have you? That's so powerful. That's amazing. Now, I was talking about, let's go to Acts chapter 10. I'll do a pre-teaching, and I'll do the teaching. The pre is important. The pre is for to help you receive the word. Praise God. Acts chapter 10. We don't have screen to deal, so let's we're on our own. So first, I want to talk about how to receive. And there are many aspects of how to receive. But one thing I'm discovering is that many Christians don't receive well. Or many Christians, the word of God wastes. Many Christians actually find themselves as unfruitful Christians. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be a fruitful Christian? Who can help us? Or one characteristic, one sign of a fruitful Christian? Anyone? One sign of, if you say you're a fruitful Christian, one sign. Yeah.
To me, it's love.
Any sign of a fruitful Christian?
That you can live out the word of God. You can live the word of God.
Any other sign of a fruitful Christian? Why is everybody's head down? Like any sign? Yeah.
Hallelujah. Winning souls for God.
Any other sign?
That you at least leave out one fruit of the Spirit.
That's a very interesting answer. How many are there? 9, Abby. So you can be bad on 8, but if at least one, you are trying. Okay. Any other person? One more person. Sign of a fruitful Christian. Try now. Try your power. There's no wrong answer.
Having progress and joy in the faith.
Progress and joy.
Yes, in the faith.
In the faith. Okay. Praise God. All right. So, please listen to me. You see, fruits, the nature of fruits is that it's specific. Hallelujah. The nature of fruits is that you're not confused if mango is orange. You get. Because it has dangerous implications. Right? If you see mango, by the time you've seen it, you already have an expectation of the taste. Because the fruit is consistent. It looks a particular way. Right? So orange is not apple, right? Grape is not coconut or strawberry, right? So fruit is specific. Fruit is not a generic thing like growing in the Lord. What is growing in the Lord? Are we together? Praise God. You guys understand what I'm saying? Fruit is not it is, but you can hide behind something like becoming more like Christ. You cannot say I'm becoming, anybody's becoming more like Christ. You know? Fruit is specific. So, that's not the teaching for today. But I think I've talked about this in workers' meeting in the past. But whenever Jesus is talking about fruitfulness, he's talking about specific things. For instance, he would say something like, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Now, what are the signs that will follow them that believe? What are the signs? What are the signs? Do you know it?
They shall cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, speak with new tongues.
Leah. Amen. Okay. Can you guys hear me? Okay. So, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, Abby. So, in the context of what Jesus was talking about, if you cannot cast out demon, hallelujah. Christianity is on shaky ground. Are we together? Are we together? Fruit is specific. Amen. You see, this has to be one of your, you know, one of the things I'm afraid of the most in life is being unfruitful. And I count fruitfulness in very specific terms. For instance, one term that I use to count my fruitfulness is, are people getting saved through my ministry? Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? I don't count fruitfulness as, is my message powerful? Are we together? Amen. A message can be powerful. All of you not heard and do wow. Wow. Such word. I've never heard words like that in my life. And I will not be fruitful. Are we together? In fact, you can hear powerful word and change. You get what I'm saying? So, fruitfulness is specific. Now, in Acts chapter 10, let's look at something. And there's a way to be fruitful. Let's look at it, then I'll explain. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Hallelujah. So what was this man doing? He feared God with all his household, Abby. He gave alms generously to the people, Abby, and prayed to God always, Abby. Verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of the Lord coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." Hallelujah. So why did the angel visit Cornelius? His prayers and alms came before God, right? So his prayer activated that
angelic visitation. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Hallelujah. So the angel came to him and appeared to him and said that your prayer has made me come before you. And the next thing the angel said is that, okay, you know what? Send men to go and bring Simon Peter. Right? So why was Simon Peter going to come and preach to his household? Because he was praying. Are we together? Now, what initiated the transaction is Cornelius's prayer. Are we together? Now, let's keep on reading. Let's go to verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and behold, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Because of time, let's just go to verse 16. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So, the next day, Peter now saw a vision. Abi? Now, why did Peter have that experience? Because Cornelius prayed. Are we together? Now, in verse 17, now what Peter wondered within himself, what is vision which he had seen meant? Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. All right, so let's now jump to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Meaning that Peter, by this time, Peter had already gone to the household and everything. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Verse 44. But while Peter was still speaking this word, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, when Peter came, we know that Cornelius had the visitation because he prayed. Peter had the visitation because he prayed. Because Cornelius prayed. Peter followed them because Cornelius prayed. While Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost then came, but then powerful. Right? Now, what initiated this whole process of events is not the anointing of Peter, but the prayer of Cornelius. Are we together? You guys understand what I'm saying? So, one major reason why people are unfruitful is that they are not engaging God as receivers. Hallelujah. They are depending on the anointing of men of God. You get what I'm saying? And if I tell you now that Pizak is coming next week, maybe if what Pastor Lale announced that Pizak was coming next week Saturday, you know, some of you will be happy. I mean, everybody will be happy now. Wow, I'm coming to receive. You know, now that your happiness that Pizak is coming means zero. Are you guys following me? That excitement that Pizak is coming, wow, 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 it means zero. Because it means zero in the context of your ability to receive something. Because no matter how anointed Isaac is, if you don't prepare to receive, he will go and hear powerful preaching and come back. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys with me? So, this is pre-teaching, right? But before I go into it, I just want you to know that the value that you're going to get from today, for instance, now, is not my anointing. Hallelujah. Even though I've prepared, it's not even my preparation. It is how prepared you are as a receiver. Are we together? This is why I used to say in the past, speak in tongues at least 13 minutes before you come to church. Okay? This is why. Because the word that changes you is not the word that you like, the word that sounds good. The word that changes you is the word that God meant for you. Now let me explain something about how ministers minister. Right? You see now, my good heart is not enough to bless you. I can have a good heart, and in my good heart, I want to talk about faith. Meaning, I genuinely believe that what the Lord will have me teach is faith. And I have a good heart. I'm doing it with pure heart. But what you need is love. Are we together? So me, I'm preparing message. I'm preparing message. Now, if you are praying, if this young man is praying, maybe what can happen is that I'll just, after I've prepared all my message, the moment I come on this pulpit, the Holy Spirit will just lead me in a completely different direction. You know, it happens lots of times, or maybe as I'm preparing the message, as I've thought that I've gotten revelation, I'm going to kill these people. But I just come out. Maybe I come out to go and eat. I'll just see something on the road, or I'll just see something on TV. I'm like, it's like I should change my message. Like, this one is more powerful. That's how people prepare for. Don't think that people are going to heaven to get messages. It's not a deep process like that. Together. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? So, if you are, did something change? I think something. So, if you are going to be blessed, it is about your disposition to receive. For instance, SOD is coming. Abi, not many of you know SOD, but a lot of you know SOD, right? Now, a responsible Christian, I did not know this thing before, so I'm not judging anybody, but a responsible Christian by now should have started praying that God, these ministers, on the flyer, the ones not on the flyer, let them speak to me. Are we together? I'm not judging anybody. Myself, I did not know these things before, right? But now you have started praying every day. You pray. And when you come, you wait for the word that you need. Are we together? Most Christians will just come and just see a message. Are we together? And after they hear a message, they'll go home and go and eat. Right? And like I was telling you guys last week now, 2 weeks after that program, everything is gone. Because I've gone to watch TV, I've gone to watch everything that's happening, you know, next year's elections, you gotta start doing Peter Obi campaign or something, you know. Everything will just pack up. You start from brand new again. Are we together? So, receiving is very important. Amen. Amen. So that's the pre-teaching. Now, there's a prayer I want us to pray at the end of this preaching. It is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. By the way, I'll be fasting in January. If you want to join, you are free. Huh? If you want to join, you are free. You know, we fasted in June. Was it June or so that we fasted 30 days? How many people? Was it June? Yeah. So January, we'll do 21 days. So if you want to... Who said... Who is it? Let me know who are the... So, we'll do 21 days. If anyone wants to join, you are free. Of course, if you're a HOD and cell leader, you are doing okay. But apart from that, the ones that want to grow can join. I was thinking about it. I said, let me calm down before people say you're too wicked. Because I wanted to start from January 2. 2nd of January. I was like, this would say you're too wicked. You know? So I'll start, I think, the next week. At least have that 1 week to enjoy your new year. It won't be like we're wicked, you know. They have 1 week to enjoy your new year. Then the second week, I think maybe 7 or 8 or something like that, to start 21 days. To the end. So I'm telling you now, so you prepare your mind. This is how you think. You know, it's not like, you won't be shocked. You'll start preparing your mind for these things. All right. Is anybody interested? Okay. There are various levels. You know me, my fasting is not just food. The minimum requirement is no social media. That's the minimum. No Twitter, no Facebook. And the higher one of that version is touchlight phone. So no WhatsApp. But that one is not for everyone. Right? That one is for... No, we'll talk more about that one. All right. So, where are we? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, right? Yeah. So there's a prayer I want us to pray. Not now. At the end of this. Now. 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to pray at the end of what I'll talk about. It's a very simple prayer. It's God, save my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who can say it in Yoruba? What does it mean? What does it? Eh? Someone should say now. Give the mic to someone. Where is DJ? How do you interpret it in Yoruba or translate? Soul is like your mind, so you can use.
Oluwagba okumila.
Okay, that's cool. So that's the prayer. It's just one prayer, right? But I want you to see why you need to pray that prayer. Hallelujah. All right. So, let's start. Let's move. Shall I answer this question? Two people send questions. They're very good questions. Let me quickly answer them. So, someone sent a question said, what's the difference between the mind and the heart? Quickly. So, when I said the soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, all these things, that's a simplified form of definition. You want to be technical with it. Your soul consists of your mind and your heart. They are two different things. Your mind is more of your rational side, your thinking capacity, everything. Your heart is more emotional. But it's not just emotional for emotion's sake. Your heart is like, is where life flows from. So your heart consists of your dreams, your ambitions, your hopes, your desires. It's like your, that's the seat of God. God is meant to dwell in that place. Is your being, your being. If you're seeking your heart to show in your body. Yeah. So that's the difference between the mind and the heart. And God, for instance, the same thing can happen in the mind and in the heart with different expressions. What I, for instance, an example is like faith. There's a faith that is in your mind, which is the way you think. So Paul will say, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Man, the way you think is meant to be. Your logic is meant to be. You are meant to evolve to have a logic of faith. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? That's why we teach principles. You get what I'm saying? So, for instance, we teach principles of prosperity, for instance, so that in your mind, that would be the logical way for you to prosper. You get what I'm saying? The same way, if somebody says, I want to be rich, how can I be rich? Your giving is as potent as hard work. You get what I'm saying? Right? The two are in the same, spots. Meaning that it's rational for you. It makes sense for you. For instance, I think it's the one that was on the picture, right? The latest SOD, the semester, tithes offering, I'm guilty, right? You know, the teachings of God or the ways of God are meant to become your ways to the point that it is unreasonable. For instance, for the party hangouts, right? To me, it is unreasonable that I won't give to it. It makes no sense. Why am I here? You get what I'm saying, right? So it is, I can even borrow money to give to it. Are we together? Right? Because that's the logical way. People look at it. I've borrowed money to give to church before. Yeah. So people borrow money to buy a shoe now. Have you now? So me too, I can borrow money to give to church. Yeah. I can do it. Maybe I'm expecting money 25th, party 17th. I'll borrow money. From rent money, anybody. I'll borrow money. When 25th comes, I'll pay back. You get what I'm saying, right? So that's the logical way. You get the same way some people now, it is illogical that they don't go on summer holiday. Do you get what I'm saying? Because of their lifestyle, you get. So that's the mind. So faith can dwell in your rational sense. Faith can also dwell in your heart. The heart believes unto righteousness. Belief is an emotion. Are we together? Belief is its own emotion. That's another discussion. But belief dwells in the heart. So what I mean, for instance, now is that, you know, the feeling of I've sold myself for Jesus. You know, it's a very emotional. You get what I'm saying? You can't selling your, like saying my life is for Jesus. It's not a rational decision. The decision from your heart. So that's what I'm saying. That belief is in the heart. As the word of God enters the heart, it produces its own emotion of faith that you then relate with God with. Right? So that's the real emotion. You see, when we say don't be emotional, we don't mean Christians are the most emotional people. You get? But for you to be prosperous in Christianity, you have to be like a little child. Your heart has to be soft. Every Christian's heart is soft. Forget my face. My heart is soft. Okay, don't look at the face. Okay, that's the secret. Every Christian's heart is soft. Okay, every Christian cries. Okay, if you've not cried before, you are not there yet.
You get what I'm saying? But every Christian cries. Every Christian is sad. You get what I'm saying? All right. For instance, what's her name? No, not Jumo. Your name? Miriam, right? At the moment you entered church, I had an emotion towards it. I'll talk to you about it later. But every Christian's heart is soft, right? So that's the difference between the heart and the mind. You guys understand? Okay. The second question is in Proverbs 20. Just hold this thing. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Hold this First Thessalonians. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Right, like I said, one of the things about decision making is very short, but it's very powerful. You will see, when I say it, you will see why you need to pray. Because you do your head like this, like say, Mugbe. So, Proverbs 20, verse 27. Someone should read.
Part of the belly.
No, let him read again.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
Okay, so the person asked and said, what does this mean? But the person even quotes the person just said this thing and said, what does this mean? So the spirit is, read it again. Yeah. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Some other translations say lamp. Right. And I like these two questions. These two questions are very powerful. They're the kind of questions that he said you have to go and research. Amen. All right. So your spirit, you know, there's a scripture that says that no one knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man. How many of you know that scripture? Yeah, the same way it then says, therefore, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, remember I said that the Spirit is the core of the being. So, the Spirit man, like a lamb that searches the inward part of the belly. That belly there is the soul, like the innermost, deepest thought of the heart. You know, you, Delina, you can be planning to kill me, I won't know. Really, you can be planning to kill me. Because me, I don't interact with the deepest parts of him. It's only God that does that. Me, I'm looking at face value. That's why, please, don't... please, first impressions matter is a true saying. Please, I beg you, don't... God can have favor on you that overrides a bad first impression, but don't purposely give people a bad impression of yourself. Please. Right? You need to be very careful. You need to be very... I'll say something. You need to be very careful. For instance, at that party now, waiting for the person that will fight over food. I'm waiting. That's a very bad impression to give of yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. You should learn self-control. Again, if you go for an event and you're hungry and if not, hold your hunger, you go home and you don't embarrass yourself. Right? Hallelujah. Okay. So, me, I'm not relating with the deep part of you. I'm relating with what I can see and a little bit of your soul, your mind. But your spirit is your core. It knows your heart. Your heart can't really escape your spirit. And that's what God relates with. Read it again, please. Yeah. So when he says it's the candle of the Lord, it's what God, it means two things somewhat. It means that God uses it. Very simple. God just looks, when he say God checks the heart, you know, it's like, because God knows your spirit, and God is spirit, you are spirit. So God just knows who loves him, who doesn't love him, that kind of thing, right? So in that sense, he searches the inward parts of the belly. And the second thing also means, that because your spirit is a lamp, it's also like a guide. Right? In other words, you can follow your spirit or follow the spirit to make decisions. So, how do you know you have the right motive? You know, everybody has that issue. How many of you have
question if your motive is right. This thing that I'm doing, am I doing it because I really want to do it, or am I doing it? That kind of thing, right? You can navigate life through responding to your spirit. In other words, there is guidance in your spirit. If you are guided by the spirit, your motive will be right. Hallelujah. Amen. So those are the, well, the two people, they didn't write their names. I can't ask you if you give the question, but I believe the questions have done you justice. All right, so I said we're going to pray a prayer. God, preserve my soul. Hallelujah. Are you guys with me? Are you guys sleepy? Is anybody sleeping? Don't sleep. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I hope this phase, even myself, I'm pitying you people. I hope I leave this phase. But it just seems like I don't send powerful preaching. I hope. But no, powerful preaching is good. It's good now. It's good when you are Jim. I hope. Let's praise. You can praise God for me. You know. Maybe I would. But like I said, it's not by powerful preaching. But let's share. Myself, I hope that. All right. So we want to talk about decisions making. Or decision making, right? Now, decisions matter a lot. Let us go to, where is this scripture? Be careful. A man will sow what he reaps. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Who knows that scripture? Who knows where it is? Thank you. Jamie, please, can you reach my wife? Yeah, I think I'm something. Galatians 6:7. Amen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, so decisions matter because the decision to sow or sowing is a decision. Hallelujah. Right? You know, you can have money and not invest it. Abina. Amen. Right? Now, you know, I have money. You know, I have money. But it's not showing on me like that. Like, what's showing on me? I have more money than what I'm showing. Do you get my point? Now, the reason why is that, for instance, now this December, I can't really flex like that because January is school fees. Yeah, right? So I have more money that is showing on me, you know. Now, it's my choice. I can decide to buy chain and school fees would have it. I mean, right? I know that's how many of us live our lives. Right? Now, that's what is called deception. Right? Where you are expecting to reap what you did not sow. You get what I'm saying? Right? Because reaping is not a decision. Reaping is an outcome. Are we together? So reaping is an outcome of the decision to sow. Hallelujah. And so decisions are very important because decisions are how we sow seeds into our future. But there is a force called deception that makes us think that decisions are not so important. Hallelujah. That's why they have to teach it. That's why they have to put it there. Don't be deceived, because you can be deceived. Hallelujah. In fact, this is what covetousness is. Right? This is what covetousness is. The desire to be wealthy without going through process. Hallelujah. You don't see a car, you want a car. You don't know what went into... You get what I'm saying now? You just see somebody. Amen. How many of you understand what I'm talking about now? You just see this guy is a billionaire, you know? Then you start daydreaming. Like you said, if you become a billionaire one day, that's covetousness. Hallelujah. All right? And is zero. You know, for instance, now you see somebody with anointing, you just desire that you have the anointing that the person, you know, that's covetousness. Hallelujah. For it to not be covetousness, you need to ask a question. What did you do to get there? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 How many of you want to be more anointed? You want to be more anointed, are you? But you don't want to fast in January. You see? That's covetousness. Are we together? Just wishful thinking, just desiring, right? So people are usually deceived. Right? People usually deceive themselves into thinking that their decisions don't matter. Can you imagine me now thinking that my anointing will increase without fasting and prayer? Just imagine now. Like, I don't have plans to. So that's why you shouldn't be shocked that someone like me is fast. Why are you shocked? That's what I should be doing. Have you not? Yeah, right? But, like I said, you can be deceived into thinking that your decisions don't matter. Hallelujah. Are we together? This is a very serious issue. Very serious issue. So, in Deuteronomy 30, let's go to Deuteronomy 30. You know, I assure you, by the time I finish teaching this thing, that prayer, you pray it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Are we there? I really hope, you know, I hope a lot of us, I hope more of us were here. Because this word is important, huh? Your choice. 30 verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now, what did... Now, you see, the children really got to a point where God said, today, choose. Hallelujah. Meaning that today I have, because what happened here was, this was after Moses had read the entire law to them. You know, he said, okay, you know, today this is the reading of the law, right? All right, to cap this preaching session off, today, choose. Today is the day that they set before you life and death. Hallelujah. What does this mean? This means that, and you know, he then said, if you walk in this, if you don't walk in this, meaning that after today, the judgment. You get what I'm saying? All right? So before that today, you could have been doing things and God would be overlooking it. All right? But by that today, it's now life or death that we're talking about. What does this mean? This means that life and death is once in a while decision. Are we together? The most, you see, there are different kinds of decisions you can make. For instance, at that Christmas party now, if you eat round one, you eat round two, you eat round three, you drink juice, you drink ice cream. You know the worst that can happen in Jeju Dedi? Happy now. Maybe for the next 3 days, you'll be taking flagyl or something like that, right? to manage your tummy, right? Now, that's a decision that you made. You are reaping. If you pray to God and say, Father, I receive healing for this sickness. No, that's wrong. You are reaping what you sowed. Are we together? Right? And please, you know, and that's why I'll get there. But please, that's why we'll get there. But that decision, it doesn't carry the same weight as who you marry. Are we together? Meaning that the implication of it is not the same. The highest one can give you is Jeji Dedi. Another one can kill you. Are we together? So, not all decisions carry the same weight. And in fact, see, like I said, did God ever, you've not read all the Bible yet, but at least by your thinking, do you think God ever came to these people like this and said, today is another day to choose again? No. Have you not? Meaning that, it's not every day that decision that carries weight comes to you. Right? Hallelujah. You know, I've discovered something in life that the decisions that really matter, there are rarely ever more than 5 decisions. Your whole life is no more than 5 decisions, and 3 are already constant. What church you attend, where you will live, who you will marry. Are we together? And those 3 decisions are already like 3 have already been taken. Then they're not like 2 others. Maybe depending on how your life is, you know. Depending on the unique circumstances of your life, maybe you take a particular job, you know, I don't know, you know, that kind of thing, right? But ultimately, the major decisions in life, the weighty decisions in life, are not plenty. And don't think that because they are weighty. That's what I want to show. I don't think that because they are weighty that you receive angelic visitation. Hallelujah. Some of the weightiest decisions, God will be silent. Hallelujah. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Let's look at Ruth. Let's go to Ruth. Ruth is before 1 Samuel. Abby, before Judges. Abby, is it before Judges? After Judges. Amen. Amen. Now, Ruth is, in case you don't know who Ruth is like the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Right? Jesus came through her lineage. And that was her destiny. Are we together? Her destiny was to be great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Ruth 1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. I'll be jumping because of time. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraim of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and had two sons. And he took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived, had two sons. So Ruth's husband died, have you? And she was with her mother-in-law. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return to each other. Return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I shall have a husband tonight, I shall also bear sons. Would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. She said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "That is enough." Hallelujah. Now, Ruth and Orpah, right? They married somebody's sons. Hallelujah. Sons died. And then the mother-in-law said, "You know what? Let me free people. Go and find husband. You are free from my terror." You know, mother-in-law and always. "You are free from me, go and marry again." And Orpah, and they said that they are not going. But Ruth then persuaded them again. Orpah left. Abby? Ruth said she's not going. Read it further. Ruth said she's not going. So Ruth followed Naomi to Israel. Now, it's in Israel that she met Boaz and married Boaz. And through that marriage, that's where Jesse came, then David came, then down to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the destiny of Ruth to be the great-grandmother of Jesus was based on the decision to go back to Moab or to follow Naomi. Abi? Now, that decision, in that thing, did you see angel? In fact, you didn't even see Holy Spirit. Have you? So, destiny was hanging on a seemingly normal decision. Hallelujah. My point is that you don't weigh the importance of the decision based on the drama happening. Are we together? You get what I'm saying? Important decision is not when, you know, important decision is not where there's drama. Everywhere can be cool and calm, but destiny is still being decided. You get what I'm saying? In fact, you will even know some decisions. You will even know that is this serious, so because it doesn't link. You get what I'm saying, right? Like it's not clear that this decision is going to link to your destiny, but it has linkage. You guys understand what I'm saying? You see why you should pray? This is why you should pray. Now, why is this so? You see, at times, you are in a season of what I would call guidance, where you need guidance. Meaning that at times, the decisions you are making are in a season decisions. So because you are in a season, the Holy Spirit is giving you guidance. In fact, you can even dream and know what you should, something like that, right? And those decisions, some of the important weighty decisions enter into those kind of seasons. But you see, some decisions come in at promotional exam. Right? Meaning that at the end of a season, there's the promotional exam for the next season. So, because it's a promotional exam, God can't give you expo. So, God is expecting that if you spend 5 years in a season, you have built enough structure, you have built enough sense to know what you should do. You get what I'm saying? So, the same way you can become shocked. Exam is next week. I didn't know. It's the same way with God. You can be in a season-defining moment of your life and you won't know. You get what I'm saying? You don't need to know. It's not like they need to broadcast it. The point is that, and it's not unfair, is that if you attended class, if you did assignments, you know it is now, you know, if you did assignments, if you read your book, you won't be shocked at what you see in exam. But if you didn't do it, you'll be shocked. Now, your shock at what you see in exam is not unfair. It's reaping what you have sowed. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? So you can't say, God, why are you doing like this? It's unfair. No, it's not unfair. It's not unfair. It's reaping what you have sowed. And I tell you the truth, you're not too young to make decisions. Because you see, if you look through the scripture, you see people old making decisions. In fact, we'll look at somebody, we'll see young people making decisions. You know? It's not a, you know, I keep telling you guys this, your age is not, if you are not too young to be blessed, you are not too young to be cursed. Again, don't look at, God does not look at, he's a small boy, just, you know what I'm saying? Amen. If you're blessed, shout hallelujah. Yeah. I see why I need to pray. I need to rush, so we can have time to pray. But let's look at, first, as I spoke about some decisions, right? I tell you the truth, if God does not help you, you know? Because like I told you, you will always want to. You always want to reap. So, amen. It's natural. It's natural to you. But I tell you now that there's free food down the street now. Some of you forget your life. Some of you forget that there's glory home. Abina. You know one way they kidnap children? Give them sweets. Come on, take sweet. Come on, take sweet. Come on, take sweet. The little child will just, hey, sweet, sweet, sweet. You just, Abina. Amen. Hallelujah. Forget children, even adults. Some of you now, if a witch should invite you to her house to eat food, forget. You know, I remember when I was young, right, a witch was confessing. And she said that she had recruited members of the church. And she said that the way she recruited one guy, that they gave him food to eat. You know? And it's true. You know, some people, they will eat some food, they will start apparenting in your dream. Now, is buga, they are lying. What I mean is like, that's why women become witches without their consent. Because women are easily deceived. What I mean, for instance, a woman can go somewhere now, touch something, right? She will not dream. In the dream, they will not visit her. Say, you are part of us. And I say, if you tell anybody, we'll kill you. She will not accept that she's part of them. Yeah, it's like threatening. You get? If they are petty and say you are part of them, you say, when did I join? You get? I didn't join you people. Yeah, right? So truly, you can induce people into joining some of these things. So they said they gave the guy food, and the guy just, you know. But some people, they just eat food. They don't know if they've put, they don't even know what they've put in the food. Why? Because you want to reap where he did not sow. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Yeah, so I was talking about decision, right? So for instance, where's Kunle? Did he tell you? So I want to use him as an example. We are talking about where you live. You know, you can't live anywhere. Who was the person that told me that Colin was living in First Stack? I think you're the one of you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Someone just think, I want to live in First Stack. Now, where did that thought come from? We don't know. I don't know. But Isha came and he's here. Okay. Now, if there is no structure, now the structure now is me telling him that you can't go and live in First Stack. That's madness. Right? Now, if there's no structure, you will naturally make that decision. That decision there, I can see him 2 years down the line saying, I just believe that we should all be not too spiritual. This spirituality sense is not what it means is that you change. I guess what I mean. So decisions are weighty. And the way you will make is it like I said, I've said it already, but let me just portray it. That the way you will make a weighty decision will be the exact same way you will decide on what you will wear your clothes. Again, right? It won't necessarily be deep. Hallelujah. Hey guys, follow me. Am I boring you guys? Are you sure? So how do you build the muscle of decisions? How do you build this muscle? It's like a muscle that you build. Let me say, watch. I like it. How do you build this muscle? See, if you don't, it gets easier. It becomes easier to make the right decisions when you are used to making the right decisions. If you're not used to it, you will not make the right decision. Now, how do we build this muscle? The first way is to choose the way of the Spirit at all times. What this does is that this helps your mind get used to the logic of the Spirit. So when you choose the way of the Spirit all the time, it helps your mind flow the spirit logic. I want to put it out. So it becomes sensible to you to follow the will of the Spirit. Now, when you start following the will of the Spirit, some of you guys will experience it where the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, and the reason why you don't want to do it is because it's not making sense. Abby? Does anybody have that experience? Are you guys with me? Yeah, you guys are not with me. Now, who has the experience of the Holy Spirit telling you to do something? And the reason why you don't want to do it is because it doesn't make sense to you. Who has that experience? Okay, now, eventually, as you continue choosing the way of the Spirit, what will happen is that you will stop being worried about whether it makes sense or not. Meaning that the mind will begin to be rewired. Hallelujah. So what to them makes sense to the mind is to do what the Spirit is saying, not what it is thinking by itself. Are we together? So the only way you can do that is by obeying the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you see, these guys, they understand. They know, they are not deceived. they know who is truly choosing or not choosing. That's why the Holy Spirit can come and tell you, stop eating that food. It carries the same weight as go and preach to that. It's not about never think that you disobeyed the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter because the thing was small. You get what I'm saying? Right? Maybe the Spirit wants you to go to that place and bring by error, and you don't do it, and nothing happens. But I say it doesn't matter. No, it matters. You get what I'm saying? It's not about the outcome. It's about, are you building your muscle of decision? You get? So it's not every decision that, you know, you will make the decision, there'll be money. You can make the decision, nothing will happen. The point is, are you learning how to make decisions? You get? Let's look at the story of the young and the old prophets. 1 Kings 13. Soon be done. I was using as example. Kole, I was using as example. That way it has passed. But we'll talk about it. But it's not. Where do you want to live? Why do you want to live in First Act? Tell us.
So the first reason is because I want to go to Lasso. So, and then aside from that, I okay. So I was thinking about not staying around Lasso area because number one, I don't like when someone is too rowdy, or there are like plenty people and they're just like taught everywhere, all those kind of things. First, I don't like it. I try to avoid that. Then I like when someone is very solemn, very.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So. 1 Kings 13, we'll just rush. Verse 1, and behold, the man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. So a man of God went somewhere and operated somewhere. Let's go to verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the word which they had spoken to the king. So after this man of God had done this, we're now telling an old prophet. 12. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his son had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? He said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, not go in with you. Neither can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. But I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. So God told him, don't branch. Abi? You go do your work, you come back. That's what God told him, Abi? Verse 18, he said to him, the old man, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. In brackets, he was lying to him. Are we together? So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. That's the old prophet. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, But you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread or drink water. Your cup shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, Eliab met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse.
Hallelujah.
Now, what happened? God told the man something. He said, as you are going, go and come back. Don't branch. And I met an older guy. I said, meet on a prophet now. Angel visited me. Right? Why was his mind swayed? Back of muzzle. Together. Meaning that sentiments swayed his mind. You get what I'm saying? You know that some of you here now, right now, if you want to get married, now let's say what tribe are you? Akwa Ibom. Is Akwa Ibom a tribe? So, let's say, Bessina wants to marry Yoruba man or something like that, and the parents don't like Yoruba. Do you know that there are so many people that have, I know somebody in this church, it's not outside. The girl did not marry him because the father said she doesn't like him. But she knows that that's who God would have her marry. Hallelujah. You understand? Meaning now, God tells me now that this lady is my wife. My parents say, no, you can't marry her. We don't marry from that tribe. And I'm saying that, okay, I'll listen to you. But God has told me that this is my wife. Now, why is, now you see, how does that happen? It happens by pressure. Abi? Everybody will shout and say, no! Yeah, it will not go. Right? But you see, if you've built muscle, you will stand the pressure. You know what I'm saying? You stand the pressure. You'll be doing all your drama. I'm still here. Hallelujah. Just like now, I was telling you guys last week about a guy that he told a girl in December, God say, I'm my wife. In January, he said, I'm thinking about it. It's like I didn't hear God well. But no, that was February. Like, let's have a break. Right? By March. No, let me not. Let's not be like I'm holding you. Just do what you want to do. Let me do what I want. Right? In the space of like 4 months, God has said 3 different things. You know why? What will you do if you find out that the girl God wants you to marry is to be a prostitute? What will you do? No, now, what will you do if you find out that the girl that God wants you to marry is to be a prostitute? Okay. It's not my mouth, though. Now, you see, if that's using this example, that God tells you this is who you will marry, doesn't mean that there can't be trouble. You know what I'm saying? So if you've not built your muscle, you have to have built your muscle to the point that it will be absurd that you don't do what God wants. Meaning that you know that, okay, so how will I move forward in my life knowing that I'm doing what God does not want me? That has to be the challenge. If not, you can change your mind.
In anything, you can change your mind. You can see vision from angel and change your mind. The same way this old prophet. You can change your mind. You get? Have you not changed? Some of you have changed your mind now. Some of you have changed your mind. Have you now? The thing came out first, say, wow. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me direction. Wow. In fact, we're even happy, say, you know. We're even happy, say, wow. You know, I just want to thank God. You know, God speaks. You know, if you pray to him and you seek his face, he will speak and he will guide you. You know? And then trouble came. As I say, maybe I didn't hear God well. You know? Maybe I didn't hear God well. And you see the thing, that that decision, it can be the decision that will determine your death. And you will casually run away from it. Hallelujah. So it's about building that muscle, right? The second way is about leaning not on your own understanding, meaning that you don't hype yourself. A lot of us hype ourselves too much. You hype your thinking too much. You know? You hype your logic, you hype your reasoning. Hallelujah. And the last is that you get counsel from normal people. Right, so you don't hype yourself. And for you to get counsel from people, you should not hype yourself, because you see, the people that would typically give you the best advice, the flawed people. I've noticed that in about life. Hallelujah. The people that will typically give you the best advice that will change your life will be very flawed people. Meaning that there will be areas of their life that you are even better than them. You get what I'm saying? For instance, why is it that Christians don't take their health seriously? What they eat? Because the people that are teaching it are not believers. Have you know? Which preacher is talking about eat healthy food? Have you know? It's not what we preach. Right? The people that have the knowledge are unbelievers, evil people. So we feel, no, this is not spiritual. You get? Abina. And we don't listen. And then you eat everything, drink everything. By the time you have liver problem, you start praying to God for healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Abina. Let me just advise you. The moment you start hearing, it's not every time, it's a particular age you start hearing it. But the moment you just start hearing in your vicinity, eat healthy foods, please take that thing seriously. I know most of you are not at the age where you'll be hearing it, but there's the age you will get to in your office, they'll be saying it. You'll be in your car, on the radio, they'll be saying it. You'll just be hearing it around you. When you start hearing it, please, it's God talking to you. Take it seriously. Yet. If you dishonor your body will destroy. There's nothing that you can do. Yeah. So, not all counsel comes from spiritual people. That's the nature of counsel. You see, God has done this thing in such a way that no human being can take glory. You always need another man. You get what I'm saying? So, Moses, the prophet, would be advised by Jethro, his father-in-law. Right? So it's not, there are things that you can be mentored by a Muslim. You get? That's not less spiritual. God can send you into an industry, and the person you will learn under, the cultist. Yeah, life cultists, like they even fight. Yeah. Well, you will learn work from him. If you say, no, this is beneath me, this is, the Lord does not. You get it, right? And the way you can position yourself to take
seek this kind of counsel is by not hyping yourself too much. Yeah, there's some knowledge that God does not give. Are you hearing me? There's some counsel that God does not give. God puts it in the mouths of other men. But how much you pray, God will not answer you. Praise God. So, I mean, praise God. So this is why we need to pray. So we just pray for like 5 minutes. And the prayer is just, God just preserve my soul. Because if you've been listening to me, there's a kind of texture that your heart has to have. If not, your natural, don't be deceived by the revelations that you are getting. I'm serious. Your natural disposition is to waste your life. That's your natural disposition. Yeah. Are we together? I know some of us have made very terrible decisions in life. Have you not? But it's not even prayer that stuff in the past. It's not restoration prayer. It's looking ahead. Thank God, help me. You know, preserve my soul. Save my soul. Help my ways. So that I won't waste my life. Because I want all of us to be praying. If there are any patterns of decision while I was preaching that you noticed in yourself, repent of it. Tell God that you repent and that you change. Ask God to repent or repent before God. But make sure that you are praying. Make sure that you are talking to God. Make sure that you are asking Him to help your soul. And if there's any decision that you've made now that you know is wrong, I know God is not with you, please decide now to adjust.